Welcome back to the deep dive.
You know that feeling you get a test score, maybe it's a percentile, and you're just left thinking, okay, so now what? What do I do? Today we're taking a deep dive into educational metrics, specifically why that traditional approach, psychometrics, has often failed students and teachers. It hasn't given them feedback they can really use. So, psychometrics, let's unpack that. It's the science, really, of measuring things you can't directly see, abilities, traits, you know.
Right, unobservable characteristics.
Exactly, and measuring these invisible things accurately. It's complex.
It is, and that complexity has, I think, held back educational tests from really doing what they should, giving clear, actionable guidance.
So not just measuring, but guiding.
Precisely. For so long, testing was mainly about figuring out where a student stood compared to others, just identifying their status. But if that's your only goal, just placing them on a scale, you completely miss the chance to actually boost their learning. The focus really needs to shift from just where are you to, okay, here's what to do next.
Right. So let's talk about that traditional hurdle. Raw scores, percent correct. They don't mean much outside that one specific test, do they?
Not really. They're item dependent. That's why we have scale scores to try and track performance over time.
But what do those scale scores actually tell you? That's the key question.
Well, that gets us into the big difference. Norm referenced versus criterion reference tests. Norm reference tests, they tell you how you did compared to a norm group, like an average. Think percentile ranks.
Okay, like the SAT scale, 200 to 800, mean of 500.
Exactly like that. And here's the interesting bit. Those scales are built primarily to order people, to rank them.
Which can really mess with a student's head,
yeah.
Their self-concept.
Absolutely. Especially, you know, when states use really negative language like inadequate on reports.
Instead of something neutral or growth-oriented like beginning learner.
Precisely. It frames everything as a deficit.
So criterion reference tests, they're different how?
They skip the comparison to others. It's all about what you know or can do, based on a defined set of skills or knowledge.
So it's not you beat 80% of your peers, it's you've achieved proficient in this algebra unit.
Exactly. It's about mastery of the content itself.
Okay, so how do we get reports that actually help guide instruction? Is it just about adding subscores?
Well, people tried that, but subscores often aren't very reliable, and they tend to be highly correlated with the main score anyway. They don't add much unique information. The real solution, the modern approach, involves what we call backward design.
Backward design. So you start at the end.
Sort of, yeah. You first figure out exactly what kind of actionable information you want on the score report. What does the teacher need to know? What does the student need to know?
Right.
And then you design the test items and the whole assessment structure specifically to deliver that information reliably.
That makes sense. Which leads us, I guess, to things like diagnostic classification models.
Yeah.
DCMs.
Exactly. DCMs move away from just that single overall score.
Right.
They give you a much more detailed picture, like a profile showing mastery or non-mastery across a set of very specific skills. It's multidimensional.
So like a diagnostic report card for individual skills within a subject. It says you've mastered skill A and C, but not B.
Kind of, yeah. It identifies the specific pattern of skills the student has. And this profile is often interpreted using learning maps.
Learning maps. Oh. Okay, what are those exactly?
Think of them as structured diagrams. Technically, they're directed acyclic graphs. They visually lay out how different skills and pieces of knowledge build on each other, the prerequisite relationships.
So skill A is needed before you can learn skill B, which is needed for skill C.
That's the core idea. And these maps can be huge. You mentioned the DLMAA math map earlier.
Yeah, over 2,500 nodes. That's staggering.
It's complex, but it allows the reporting to be incredibly specific.
Yeah.
The DCM tells you where the student is on that map. And because you see the connections, the report can highlight, okay, this student is struggling here. Look, these are the prerequisite skills, the precursor nodes, they likely need to work on first. Or they've mastered this, so here are the next steps, the successor nodes.
That sounds much more useful. It's guiding instruction directly.
That's the goal.
So the big picture here seems to be moving towards assessments that show the process of learning, not just a snapshot of their current status.
Yes, representing the learning journey itself.
But how do you assess a process that happens inside someone's head?
Good question. Technology is key here. We can analyze log data.
Log data. You mean the digital trail left behind during computer-based tech?
Exactly. Clicks, how much time they spend on a question, did they use help features, how did they navigate, all of it.
Mm.
By analyzing that data, we can start to infer the cognitive processes or strategies students are using. Are they rushing? Are they stuck? Are they using inefficient methods?
And you can report that back.
That's the idea. Feedback not just on the answer, but on how they got there. It could help students and teachers spot and redirect less effective ways of tackling problems.
Interesting. We know feedback generally helps. Learning the research shows a pretty strong effect, right?
Yeah, the meta-analyses are quite clear on the overall positive impact, something like a 0.48 effect size, which is substantial in education.
But your point about log data raises a new question.
Mm.
What kind of feedback is best?
Mm.
Is it process feedback from log data or status feedback like proficient?
That's where we need more research. Which type works best and for which specific students in which contexts? It's likely not a one-size-fits-all answer.
Sure.
But ultimately, whatever system we design, the reports have to be understandable. They need to spark conversations between the student and teacher, the teacher and parents, maybe even between educators and the test developers themselves.
That communication loop is critical.
It really is. That's where the data turns into actual learning improvement.
Okay, so here's a final thought for you, our listener. If assessment is truly meant to help learning, imagine you get a test report back, and all it gives you is a single percentile rank. What one specific concrete action could you take right then to improve performance based only on that number? That's tough, isn't it? Something to think about.